Good evening, Steeler Nation. Are you ready for a wild card weekend? I know I am. And here to share in this wonderful wild card weekend is Dennis Best. Welcome, Dennis. How are you? Welcome to the show.
It's good, Rudy. Welcome back. Nice talking to you. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you also. And let's jump right into this because there's a lot of stuff going on today. Some head coach vacancies, some surprises. Some weren't so much of a surprise. Who's your biggest shocker going into the 2016 NFL season with head coaching vacancies that are a plethora right now?
My biggest, some coaches like Mike Pettine were going to be let go regardless. Tom Sula out of San Francisco is going to be let go. My biggest surprise was Chuck Pagano being kept on as the Indianapolis coach or Indianapolis Colts coach at 8-8. After how bad of a season they had, people were talking about him being let go. He's not the answer. Him being kept on is my biggest surprise. But then, of course, you have Tom Coughlin being let go as well after two Super Bowl championships and 12 seasons with a team. Those are my biggest surprises.
You know what? I'm going to touch on both of those. We're going to expand on those ever so slightly. You're talking about a Chuck Pagano. Okay, fine. So he's had some issues personal. He had, cancer treatment. He derived from his players and say, you know what? I can do this. I can come back. He fought cancer and he won. So he's back in town. He's going to stay for another, I don't know what the contract, I think it was another 2 or 3 years there, which was probably, to be honest with you, at 8-8. Yeah, he had some things he had to overcome. He had Andrew Luck trying to overcome and still trying to overcome a lacerated kidney. One of those things you just don't want to play with, especially being a quarterback, get hit in the wrong area and you're done for the rest of your NFL career. So unless you heal that up, that's one thing. He had some heartstrings there. I'll be honest with you. There were some heartstrings that were really pulling out for him and people really pulling for him to stay in Indianapolis. And, well, he and they got their wish. Of course, with Mike Pettine, the carousel doesn't stop. The only thing that changes are the horses' faces on that carousel because they've gone through so many coaches in Cleveland that, ensue the comical music. The doot, 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 it's very consistent, which is kind of a problem there. I don't know if Haslam has an answer for someone on the side. Maybe someone. He even took a poll of the players. Say, what did you like about Mike? What did you not like? And he's going to find a head coaching job somewhere. Question is where? Once you're head coach for Cleveland, where do you go from there? Who wants to hire you? Are you a commodity? I don't know. Here's Tom Sula, a guy who was handed relatively nothing and, unlike Pagano, had no weaponry whatsoever, had no real quarterback answer. He had Gabbert. You have you have a lot of answers offensively that they weren't able to find a solution for. What are your thoughts about the Colts, and why do you think they kept Chuck Pagano?
I think you touched on it earlier with the heartstrings and the cancer thing. You have such talented players in Indianapolis. They went out and got Frank Gore. They went out and got Andre Johnson. You have the future, one of the greatest young quarterbacks in Andrew Luck, who was hurt most of the season. But Matt Hasselbeck went out and played well, and they just did not get it done. But I think he did just enough to keep his job for one more season. If they go 9-7 or 8-8 next year, you'll see Pagano get out of there. You'll see him fired.
Right. Now, what about the 49ers? And again, you have some irony statements from Jim Harbaugh, who's Michigan State, head coach, saying, you reap what you sow. I was still trying to figure out what that was really trying to make a statement towards in regards to Tom Sula. He's scratching his head, probably thinking, what's this guy talking about? What's going on in San Francisco, and is ownership really going to get it done and find someone who fits the system? They've been through a lot of head coaches themselves.
It's an absolute train wreck in San Francisco. They won 5 Super Bowl 2 years ago. Colin Kaepernick can't play in the NFL. Everyone on their defensive side of the ball retired. I think Thompson got the short end of the stick. He had, like you said earlier, had nothing to work with. And they just gave up on this coach who won 5 games with no players. So, I mean, it's one of those things, and in Cleveland, too. I mean, these they have no talent in Cleveland or San Francisco, and these coaches are just going to keep carouseling out, in and out, in and out. But, I mean, who's going to be the answer for both San Francisco and Cleveland?
There are some guys. You have some candidates right now who are actually looking not too shabby. I mean, look at Terrell Austin. He's got a pretty decent resume. Lines dropped from 2 in total D in 2014 to 18 in 2015, but he's got a lot of experience. He's been with Seattle, Arizona, Florida Gators, D.C., Baltimore Ravens secondary coach, Detroit Lions current defensive coordinator. So you're going to have some conversations with teams like the Dolphins, the Eagles, the Browns, who could really use a defensive-minded coach to build around the linebackers, the OLBs, the DBs, the corners. You have people like Daryl Bevel. Bevel, that guy knows how to spot talent. As a matter of fact, he brought along Tavares Jackson. He's worked with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, but it was only for a year. I mean, something to be said for these guys who are – they're not really fighting for their lives in these head coaching conversations. I mean, look, you had people like Deuce Daly, who was, you know, interviewed by the Eagles. He's our running back coach. I mean, does this guy want all the responsibility? Philadelphia is a short-lived city for head coaches. What are they going to do moving into the offseason? I don't know. It's anybody's guess, but Bevel's time with the Huskies, the Packers, as assistant QB coach, quarterback coach in 03 to 05, Vikings coordinator 6 to 10. You have a lot of great talent on the horizon for head coaching, and they can make their case. We're going to find out if even Adam Gasey, who's got a strong arm and find his way into picking Tom Sula as the defensive coordinator, in San Francisco. And again, you know, I can't speak a whole lot for Chicago or their season or how that went. I mean, Jay Cutler, one of the most expensive quarterbacks to ever be benched, still making, you know, $2 million sitting there in a jacket, wondering if he's ever going to play again. So, you know, you have a lot of conversations about a lot of different teams. And with that being said, let's move in to the 2016 NFL playoffs. This is crazy. Lots of good stuff going on. Lots of teams who are, I'm going to say, as deserving as you can get, even to find themselves in a wild card bid. You have Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know you're not a Steelers fan being in Denver. You're a Denver fan. You've seen your team struggle in the first half against the San Diego Charger team, which, yes, they're AFC West foes. You have the Denver Broncos, who, I mean, struggled mightily against the San Diego Chargers, who otherwise, and again, nothing to play for. All these teams want to go for it on fourth down. Where was all of this mockery during the season saying, well, we're at 500, but we should practice third down conversions. Let's go for this on fourth down. Why do you believe that the Denver Broncos struggled against San Diego so mightily?
I think it's just because, the main reason Denver struggled in any game this season, well, one, because the quarterback play between a hurt Peyton Manning and a young Brock Osweiler and the inefficiency of the offensive line. Michael Schofield and that entire offensive line is the worst in football. And you saw that against tons of teams like Pittsburgh, who came out in the second half of their game, of their win against Denver, and came out and showed that our offensive line is abysmal. San Diego was going for it. Oakland was the same way when we played the Raiders. That, you know, Khalil Mack had 5 sacks against Brock Osweiler, all on Michael Schofield. You saw a third quarter adjustment when Denver pulled Brock Osweiler in favor of Peyton Manning. They also took Michael Schofield out of the game for Tyler Columbus. So you have these inexperienced offensive linemen who need to figure it out, or Denver will be a one-and-done team in the Super Bowl, in the playoffs.
Well, but before getting to the playoffs, there's a lot to be played for. We have Kansas City at Houston. The line right now is Chiefs minus 4. I can't say that Alex Smith has been really blowing it up right now on any given team. Again, struggled against the Raiders. Again, another AFC foe, a division foe, but Alex Smith just for some reason looked really stale against a otherwise abysmal pass rush by the Oakland Raiders, but Khalil Mack had some pressures also. I'm going to have to take Kansas City in this game against Houston, even if it is in Houston, for a couple reasons. First reason, in Kansas City has enough on their defensive line. You have Eric Berry again, you know, fought through cancer, one of those comeback stories, and there's lots of them. They're everywhere. They're in the league. They're floating. Everyone wants to talk about it at the right time. But to be honest with you, the Chiefs' defense is really stepping up, making a case for probably one of the strongest defenses in the AFC.
No,
who do you pick in this matchup?
Between Kansas City and Houston, as a professional, and you know, as a professional, you have to go with Kansas City. Houston has, you know, Houston has a good defense, a fantastic receiving core, and Brian Hoyer has looked well. But Kansas City has won 10 games in a row. Alex Smith is a game manager, knows how to play when he needs to. A great tight end in Travis Kelce, and a defense who looks like one of the top 10 in the league. So unfortunately, as a Bronco fan, you have to take the Chiefs on the road against Houston.
Definitely. You know what? Kansas City has been on fire. I can't say that Houston, again, one of those teams that haven't been lining up on the screen. They went to get some moves. They acquired Frank Gore. You know, they did all of these things to help put themselves in a position. I just believe that it's a weak position. You can't really rely on Houston to get it done. I mean, they're almost, I'd say, close to being last in the NFL on third down conversions. But a team who knows how to get together when everything is aligned. Again, they are at home. So, you know, Kansas City on the road, I still have to take the Chiefs in this game. And, of course, Saturday's matchup being the doubleheader that it is, you have the Pittsburgh Steelers facing the Cincinnati Bengals. Wow.
Yeah.
Welcome, could be one and done for Cincinnati. They haven't proven that. Dalton hasn't proven it himself. I have to take the Steelers in this one for a couple of reasons. First of all, Ben Roethlisberger, two-time Super Bowl champion. Did he look good getting there at times? No. He had miscommunications, miscues, forcing balls into situations he had no business forcing balls into. He needs to be more of a game manager than forcing situations. Look, throw the ball based on what the defense is giving you. Don't take it too hard. Understand, pace yourself. He's done it before. He's done it twice. So something to be said for him defensively. Brandon Boykin, we've been going over this left and right with anybody on Twitter, and everybody's thinking hashtag free Boykin. Well, Boykin's freed now. He's part of the natural standard rotation of the Steelers defense. Conversation about how Boykin did this or he didn't do that, or you know, the Steelers spent a fifth round draft pick for him. And you know, to be honest with you, they're horrible in pass coverage. And with bad cartilage on Blake's hand, didn't exactly make him look that much more appealing. And not to take anything away from what he has done in the past, but it's any given Sunday. You have to show up consistently every single game.
And that's
Cincinnati.
And that's a beautiful thing. You said any given Sunday, any given Saturday in this case. Every team, it's no longer a 32-team league. It is a 12-team league. Everybody is 0-0. It's nice. It's going to go into a defensive struggle with Cincinnati. I do think the Steelers do come out on top, even though they are traveling to Cincinnati for a few reasons. One, Cincinnati hasn't won a playoff game since 1990. Marvin Lewis has proven that he can't play in the postseason, and they don't have Andy Dalton. They're going in expecting A.J. McCarron to be the starter on Saturday. So I think those two reasons, and I mean the inexperience of a quarterback and the record of a coach, say a lot going into the postseason. And I think without Andy Dalton, the Steelers pretty handily take care of Cincinnati. But that would mean that Pittsburgh comes to Denver on the 17th.
Correct. You'd be accurate in that statement. Look, Cincinnati, one of those teams where their head coach is really on the fence right now. Is he on the hot seat? Absolutely. No question about it. You can't really expect to get it done with the guys that you have. If it doesn't occur and the Bengals do not take care of the Steelers at home, that that particular head coach could be looking for a different job.
But think about
in 2016.
I mean, we were talking about the coaching carousel. If Marvin Lewis does end up getting fired from Cincinnati, he's probably on the top of the list for Miami or San Francisco, because Mike Shanahan's still on the – Mike Shanahan's looking for a job. Chip Kelly's looking for a job. Mike Pettit had nobody. He deserves a second chance. Jim Bob Cooter. And if you throw – and if you throw Marvin Lewis into that mix, you're talking – he'll – Marvin Lewis would be hired immediately. I still think he's a great coach. He just doesn't – he's never had the experience, and now he goes into a playoff game against probably the best offense in football in the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, look – I mean, Antonio Brown, what, had 136 receptions this year? That's insane. It's only eight shy of the record. Who – I mean, that's – and, you know, Ben Roethlisberger found Antonio Brown so much, and I don't care who's playing the Steelers, their defense is going to have a hard time. So you take – you know, the high-powered Pittsburgh Steelers offense and the inexperience of A.J. McCarron, and Pittsburgh wins this game.
Yeah, it's a really interesting pick, because I'm going to have to say, you know, Steelers, at least because it's against Cincinnati, I'm going to say at least on a plus 14, Steelers win by two touchdowns. So obviously I'm going to take the Steelers in this matchup. And then the one matchup that just really has me scratching my head, thinking to myself, did Green Bay throw the game at Lambeau? Because now we have Seattle at Minnesota. Now, I'm not going to say that Minnesota is a very high-powered team in either capacity, where you're talking about defense or offense. But you know what? They're a team that knows how to get it done. They've been doing it. They did it at Lambeau. Haven't had the NFC North crown since 2009. A conversation could be had for, is this going to be a Minnesota Vikings moving past the Seattle Seahawks, because Seattle's traveling on this particular game? I'm still going to pick up Seattle, because, again, you have the experience of a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You have experience of a defense in Richard Sherman and company. I mean, these guys are peaking at the right time.
Exactly.
Could you see another Seattle Seahawks and Pittsburgh Steelers Super Bowl 50 as it was in Super Bowl 40? It's kind of a reach at this point, but I can tell you this. Seattle's going to give Minnesota all they can handle offensively, and if Minnesota doesn't have an answer for them, they're going to pick them apart left and right. This is a tough call. What do you think about the Seattle matchup against Minnesota at home?
Well, I don't think Green Bay threw the game. I don't think Mike McCarthy would allow that to happen. But I do think that the Minnesota-Seattle game is the most intriguing to me of the entire wild card weekend. You have the first, you know, Teddy Bridgewater going into his very first postseason, and the rushing champion in Adrian Peterson. So you have, you know, a good combo of players against, like you said, a team in the Seattle Seahawks playing at their best football at the right time. Seattle's the scariest team in the postseason, in my opinion. I do think they will beat Minnesota, but it's going to be closer than people think. Minnesota is a good team. They have a decent defense, and you can never turn your back on Adrian Peterson. There's a chance he runs for 200 yards and they win.
Well, the problem is that Adrian Peterson has not been really consistent. He's had some lower back issues. Matter of fact, he left the game yesterday partially because of a lower back spasm. So, you know, is he going to continue to take the punishment to get them into a divisional round? I don't know. We're going to find out. Mike Zimmer has all the answers. Let's just see if they can create, the ultimate solution to what they're trying to gain, and that's to get past Seattle. Next game, this is an interesting. I didn't see this coming, because here we are, Green Bay Packers traveling to Washington. Don't forget, the Washington Redskins have not been in the playoffs for a long time.
Yeah.
And let's be honest here. Redskins with Kirk Cousins and company, do you think they could have gotten there with RG3? No, not at all. Inexperienced, not very fluid. He's a running quarterback. You're not going to last that long in this league. This is a passing league, not a running league. Or is it? What do you think about Green Bay? I mean, you have Aaron Rodgers, won a Super Bowl, yes, beat the Steelers in Super Bowl, Super Bowl 45, and you have Aaron Rodgers, and you have Eddie Lacy running the heck out of the ball. I mean, this team knows how to win, and they do it towards the winning moments. just couldn't get it done yesterday against Minnesota. And then you have a Washington Redskins team. Who would have thought they would even be in this position to begin with in the beginning of the season? Everybody thought, oh, it's going to be another, you know, 1-15 or, you know, 4-12. And, you know, the questions surrounding who their starting quarterback was going to be. I'm just glad they figured it out with Kirk Cousins. What do you think about this Green Bay Packers at Washington Redskins? Because to be honest with you, because Washington is on a high and they're peaking at the right time, I'm going to have to say this is my upset pick for wildcard weekend. I'm going to say the Redskins do the Packers in.
Huh? I think, well, it's because, well, Minnesota went 7-1 at home this year, and they just happened to get lucky and play in the worst division in football in the NFC East. Everyone picked them last. Nobody had them in the postseason. Nobody had them going anywhere. And they're playing for themselves. They have a great tight end in Jordan Reed and a decent defense. And Kirk Cousins is showing that he can play professional football. I don't think they'll beat the Packers just because Aaron Rodgers, and like you said, Aaron Rodgers and Eddie Lacy are playing so well. Richard Rodgers looks good. You always have Randall Cobb. I don't see the Packers losing, but it's going to be a lot closer than people are giving the Packers. You know, it's going to be a lot closer than people are giving the Redskins credit for.
Well, the Redskins have been doing it, and again, this is probably one of the wackiest wild card weekends that I can remember. I'll be honest with you. I didn't see Seattle at Minnesota. I didn't see Green Bay traveling all the way to D.C. And to be honest with you, it was a shocker to see the Steelers even get into the postseason because they've been blanked out for quite a few years. But that's a very resilient team, knows how to get in the playoffs, and traveling to Cincinnati, you know, because of the record between them, because they're extremely familiar with one another. I didn't see that coming either. Then you have Kansas City, which I didn't think the Houston Texans were even going to be in this conversation to begin with. As a matter of fact, I was talking to my twin brother, who happens to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and every year I tell him my condolences because they always know how to screw it up every single year. But they're here. I'm not going to give them any props until they actually get to a divisional round. But, you know, still, a lot of questions surrounding how Andy Reid has gotten him to this point. So just a wild card, wacky weekend. How can everybody get a hold of you, Dennis?
You can always follow me at Twitter, @_D_best. I also am a Broncos beat writer for bsndenver.com. Feel free to check us out for all of your Colorado, not just the Broncos, but Rockies, Avs, Nuggets, all of the Colorado info you need. We're right there.
Sounds good to me.